The Sand Geeks. We are the Sand Geeks.
Hello, geeks. Welcome to episode 98 of the Sand Geeks podcast. As you know, we are proudly sponsored by Kajal Perfumes, who you can find at kajalperfumes.com. And do go and visit them because they've got some wonderful fragrances. To make it even easier for you, we've left a link in our Facebook group, The Scent Geeks Podcast, and you can use code GEEKS10 for a cheeky 10% discount. And stay tuned till the end, and we will let you know how you can be entered into the giveaway for either a full free bottle or a discovery kit. Okay, with that said, I'm going to introduce my good buddy here, my co-host, from Frags to Riches, it's Steve, who I actually gave a shout out on YouTube this week. I'm a good mate, aren't I?
You did. You gave me credit for coming up with your video idea. I've not seen any revenue from the AdSense yet. That's the only thing. But we can discuss that
much,
later.
There's not much, to be honest, mate.
Ah, no, yeah, I didn't think there would be.
The videos from us blokes don't get watched that much these days. So,
yeah. Oh, mate. Perhaps if you wore a little bikini or something, it might help. If you get those little red shorts out that you wore that time in the Facebook post, that'll get some views.
Yeah, I could do that, couldn't I?
And you need to start spinning, mate.
Yeah.
Start spinning, going topless, doing the one-arm press-ups. You'll be...
Pay some models to come on and give me their opinions.
Yeah. I am busy, though, so I'm not going to be able to do it.
But, I thought... that's a shame. You know, I've thought about that. I've thought, like, what's... You know, Jeremy's business model, it's like, obviously, not now, but it used to be, pay some models... I don't. Maybe he was mates with him. I don't know. But you know, pay some models, get big views, and you know, really grow your channel. And I thought, I wonder what Helen would think if I just had pretty ladies just keep walking through the front door of our house and upstairs,
walking up to the studio.
Yeah, yeah. I think she might not kind of like it. She wouldn't dig it. You know, I don't think
sort
she'd
of leave in an hour and a half later.
Like, and she'd give,
counting the money,
yeah. She'd give me a look and I'd be like, "Well, you won't bloody do it, so I've got to get someone to do it, haven't I?"
Yeah. Someone's got to get me some views. Yeah,
yeah.
It would be a bit, it'd be an odd one, wouldn't it? Really?
Yeah, you'd be all right. You got your little office. You just like, if Mandy looked out the window, she'd just see you cramming hot women into your office.
There was a sketch on. I'm going off on a tangent now. There was a sketch show. There used to be a show called Man Stroke Woman. It's like a sketch show, yeah. And I remember there was one of the sketches where the woman said to her husband, she was like, "Oh, you're not going out to that bloody shed again, are you? She's like, you're going to think you've got like a strip club in there." He's like, "Yeah, strip club." And then she sort of sits down and you see in the background this topless woman walk past with a tray of drinks, and she walks in and the you can see the disco lights through the shed window.
Yeah.
And he's kind of getting a lap dance. It's kind of like... So yeah, it did give me a good idea that time.
Yeah, well, that's your office, that is. That's what you do in there all the time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway, how's things, mate?
All good. Oh well, I say all good. COVID has finally made its way into the household. It's got us, mate. As far as I know, I'm negative. But yesterday morning, Helen woke up feeling a little bit under the weather. So she did a lateral flow test, and for the first time, it had those two lines on. I just heard her. I was in the kitchen making breakfast. Just heard her going, "Oh no!" Because we were up early. We were supposed to be driving to Sheffield to pick the van up after it's been repaired, and obviously everything just fell away. We couldn't do any of that. The girls did lateral flow tests. They were both positive. Evie was a bit upset, actually, for a couple of reasons, because it was their cousin's birthday party. She had to miss it. She had to miss a couple of things at school the week before because they'd had symptoms and we'd done tests, and they came back negative, actually, last week. But also, I think, you know, in children's minds, all they've heard for the last couple of years is COVID this, COVID that. You've got to wear your mask. You can't, you know, you can't break the bubble. You don't want to catch it. You know, people are dying. There's deaths. So for a parent to look at the test result and look your child in the eyes and say, "Yeah, you've got a positive result," all these emotions just welled up in her and she burst into tears because she's like, "I don't want it. I don't want it." So it was heartbreaking to see her reaction. I did two, and I was negative on both. And then we all went to do PCR tests. We got those results back today. They were all positive, and mine was negative. I have been in the house with them for 24 hours since we did those PCRs. So I've just got to do my lateral flows all week and hope that, you know, I'm not stricken down with it to ruin Christmas. But it's weird times, mate, honestly. I don't know if you've had to deal with it yet in your household, but it's not much fun.
We've been really lucky. Well, in a sense, we've never had a positive test, and we've had a lot of tests. So it might be one of these things, we have had it but not known, but we're tested through the hill, like, obviously, because Mandy's a teacher, so she has to do regular tests. I literally visit hospitals and COVID testing centres and things, so I do regular tests. And obviously I've got a child in school, a child in nursery, so far, touch wood and everything else I can reach, we've never had a positive case in the house. So but it does feel inevitable. It is just almost like a matter of time, isn't it, really?
Yeah,
but,
and it's not too bad if it, you know, it's so Helen's feeling, yesterday she was a bit grim and a bit achy and lethargic, but today she seems to be much chirpier and she's sort of got this like head cold going on, really, and she says her chest does feel like a little sore, but generally she's not too bad. So it is just like a bad cold, obviously not for everyone, but for us it is. So ordinarily we wouldn't really think too much of it, we'd just be like, oh, we've just all got a bit of a cold, you know, let's carry on. But It's the disruption that all this isolation causes. So obviously, you know, 10 days we had plans. We were supposed to be going down to London for a Christmas treat for the girls. Go to the Winter Wonderland. We had a show on the West End booked. Train tickets booked. Hotels all booked. We can't do it. And some mate. Places that won't give us refunds either. Like the Winter Wonderland won't refund anything.
There's fucking, mate, it's all about the money there.
But, yeah, I know.
I mean, obviously, I mean, another fear is if you do get it, there's this chance you might lose your sense of smell. So
that's
you
it.
Know, that's your livelihood now. So it's like, shit.
Yeah, I'll just have to make content on videos of fragrances that I know what they smell like for a while the smell comes back.
Yeah, it's a good point, actually. Yeah,
yeah,
there's a fragrance called Aventus. You could probably talk about that.
I could mention that. I could mention that a little bit, couldn't I? So it'd be interesting as we're chatting next week to see what the updates are, whether I've still dodged it or whether I'm stricken down with it and it's going to ruin my Christmas. But we will see.
There you go. There's a reason for people to tune in.
There you go. Yeah, it's COVID updates. Yeah. How have you been this week, mate?
I've been okay. I've had a mixed emotion day today. So I'm a big Formula One fan, and probably not a popular opinion, but
are you going to tell me a result here? Because I might watch it.
Have you not seen it yet?
I haven't seen
it. Well, perhaps I won't spoil it for you, but I'm not a big Lewis Hamilton fan. I've been rooting for Max Verstappen all season. So I can't say what the outcome is now, can I? It's been an emotional day.
I think I can sort of guess what the outcome.
Well, I could. Well, I don't know if I've given it away there, actually. Perhaps after recording, we could. Well, what do you think's happened then from my tone so far?
Well, I think you're telling me that Max Verstappen has not won the championship, or is not going to.
Okay. But, well, I'm not going to say. We'll find out. I know the listeners listening to this will know, and that'll be interesting.
Yeah. Well, unless they're hoping to catch up as well, and you might have ruined it, you might have spoiled it for them, so it's probably a good job you didn't.
We shall see.
Yeah.
It's a good point there, to be fair, because I typically don't get to watch the any sport, anything like that during the day. Like, this was the first race all season that I've watched live. Basically, I always have to watch like the highlights or in the evening when everybody's in bed. So I'm always trying to dodge results, actually. So it's a good shout that I don't ruin it for other people. But
and
yes,
obviously,
all
the drivers were wearing the F1 fragrances that we reviewed.
Well, of course. Yeah. And then, it was my turn to do bath tonight, and my daughter shat in the bath. So that was something else I had to do with today. So that was a lovely little treat.
Floater!
Yeah, so my day has it's been a funny one, shall we say. But right, I suppose we should talk about fragrances at some point.
Yeah, because that's what I think most people tune in for is fragrances, although we never said it's exclusively about fragrances, but let's throw some fragrant content in there.
We should, shouldn't we? Yes. Right, there has been a grand total of, and looking at the Kofis, how many people have bought us coffee this week? Go to ko-fi.com/thescentgeeks, all one word, you can buy us a coffee. And the total number of people that have bought us coffees this week is equal to the square root of fuck all. We have no coffees. We are dying of thirst here.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, no coffees this week. So, do that. We'd appreciate you if you did. I think there's been a review, Chris, but before you shout that out, I'm just going to shout out Aorn. He's a regular kind of contributor to this podcast. He did respond. So we sort of mentioned, I think there was somebody, Centrifugal Force. We're not sure if it's the same person, but there was a review, wasn't there, last week. And it was entirely, it was either by someone called Centrifugal Force or the subject was or something like that. And you sort of said, oh, that'd be a good name for a YouTube channel. And I don't know if it's the same person, but there is. So Aeon's actually shared it in the Facebook group, a link to Centrifugal Force YouTube channel. And he's got a hell of a collection, actually. He's also got a hell of a body. I mean, I've been questioning some life decisions this week after seeing some of the photos. But
yeah, the guy's
so,
ripped.
Yeah. He is ripped. So yeah, there's so Aeon shouted him out. So if you want to go and check out Centrifugal Force, there's a link in the Facebook group. But yeah, is there a bit of review, Chris? Did you say
we have a lovely review? Thank you so much, Rob Whippet. That's a good name via Apple Podcasts. Yeah, he's in Great Britain, and Rob says, "Love. I've watched Chris on Fragmental for a few years. I only recently discovered the podcast, but both Chris and Steve are great. I think I must have listened to over 20 episodes in the last few weeks. So handy for the car journey to get the frag fix." And once again, that's why we love podcasts, and that's why we love people listening to our podcast, because they can sort of, you know, they can listen when they're doing other stuff, can't they? They can. You don't have to watch. It's not like a YouTube video. You don't watch it. You can just listen in the car. That's when I listen to a lot of my podcasts, or when I'm making brekkie in the mornings, or tidying up,
yeah,
washing up.
I'm the same. I was actually listening to a podcast this morning while watching the boy play football. So I took him to his football class, and I had the sort of the AirPods equivalent in my ears, and I was sort of listening to that as I was watching him. It's quite funny, they're watching a bunch of 6-year-olds. They actually played a match towards the end, and there's obviously, it's just a mass of people running after the ball wherever it goes. Obviously, there's no passing, there's no like zonal specialised. It's just they all charge for the ball everywhere. It was hilarious. But yeah,
it is. Yeah, it's good. Yeah. But speaking of a slight tangent here, I want to tell you about my AirPods. An advert for Apple, obviously, like you said, other AirPod equivalents are available. But I've had mine for maybe a couple of years, and I love them. But I started developing this little tinny rattly noise in them. So I went on the Apple website, went on chat with someone, and they went, "Oh, we'll just send you a package." They're not covered by Apple Care Plus or anything like that. Said, "Oh, we're going to send you out a special box. You put them in the box, post them to us, and then the technicians will have a look at them." Couple of days after sending it off, I had an email saying, "Technicians have fixed your AirPods, they're on the way back to you." I got them, and they'd actually sent brand new ones. Not the whole case, just the AirPods themselves, but it was the original case, you have to send them off in it. But I knew they'd sent new ones, because my old ones, I dropped them once, and they had a slight little nick in them. And I checked when they came out, it didn't have it. So they just sent brand new ones. That is good service. That is another good reason why I'm glad that I'm sort of going the Apple way with things now, because their customer service is one of the best I've ever experienced, really. So shout out to Apple, I've got new AirPods. Woo.
Okay, if only we were sponsored by Apple.
Oh god, can you imagine?
A lot of money, wouldn't it? That'd
yeah,
be good.
Yeah, be a whole different story.
That's not.
Right. What we've been wearing.
What we've been wearing. What have you been wearing, Chris?
Well, I feel like I've been wearing frags every day this week, but I can't really remember. I think I've been doing a lot of testing, actually. So three that have stuck in my mind that I've loved this week. One of them, you actually took credit for inspiring me to wear, which was Hafez 1984. And you were right to take credit, because we were mentioning it on the podcast, and I thought, you know what? I got a couple of bottles of Hafez and I haven't worn it in a minute. So I got it out this week and I rocked it to the school carol concert. And it was great. Loved it. Just as good and as stunning as I remember. It's a flawless
really
fragrance.
It's such a great frag. I always just forget how good it is. I love it. I do really enjoy it.
And for anyone not familiar, that is from Alexandria Fragrances, but it is not a clone. It's an original creation. A lot of people say it reminds them of Red Tobacco, Parfum de Marly's Carlisle, sort of in that ballpark, very similar, but it's you know, it's got its own, it's got its differences. And like a lot of the Alexandria stuff, the performance is just, it just hangs around. Yeah. It just doesn't go away.
Brilliant. It really, yeah, it really is a good performer. Yeah. I did one spray recently and someone was sort of name is like, oh, bloody hell, that's strong. Like, I only did one spray.
Yeah.
Like, so yeah, it is.
Yeah. And the other fragrances that I wore were massive performers as well. Two of my favourites. So I've been wearing a lot this recently. I've only got a travel sprayer of this, but it's going to run out pretty soon. It's the new Interlude Man 53. So the 53% perfume oil. So it's the X-Rate. And that is, it's a beauty. It just, it lasts. It gets compliments. People love it. It's a joy to wear, honestly. It's superb. I really do need to treat myself to a bottle of that at some point. £390. Anyway, that's going to be a tough one. I also wore Tobacco Oud as well. One of my favourite Tom Ford private blends. Hadn't worn it in a little while. Love it at this time of year. And I actually wore that whilst I was out and about with George the Fragrance Apprentice, who came to visit. And when he comes to visit, I'm going to tell you what George has been wearing as well, just while we're in this section, because when he comes to visit, George likes to spray on something of mine that he's not worn. So he wore two things on two different days. When I wore Tobacco Oud, he wore Amouage's Overture Man. He was going to go with something else. I said, oh, just try this one. And he put it on and he loved it. It's like incensey grapefruit, boozy cognac. It's great. And I love it when someone else wears a fragrance that I love, because as we've talked about in the past, you get a different experience because you get their cigars, you get their scent bubble. It's different to smelling it on yourself. So it was great. And I could really tell how much it was projecting for hours and hours. I enjoyed that on George. And he also wore Killian's Angel Share, because he'd never smelled or worn that before. And again, it lasted and lasted all day. And he'd sprayed it in the room I'm actually sat in now, and I can still smell it when I come upstairs into the room from 2 days ago. I can still smell it.
I can imagine George really liked that. I think
he did. So we need to get a full review of that from him, but I think he liked it. Yeah,
I thought it, because it's just got a lot of kind of character with that sort of booze in the opening. That sort of that oaky wood is really quite strong and sort of full on and rich. And I just imagine him sort of really quite liking that. So
yeah, so that's what me and George have been wearing. What have you been wearing this week, Steve?
I've worn a fragrance actually this week that George is loving. It's his number one fragrance for autumn. It's Bulgari's Man in Black, the original. I opted for that, so I had a little work Christmas do on Friday, which I almost feel controversial saying that, but it was in our office, which is a bit weird. It was a bit sort of David Brent having it in our own actual office. And there was like less than 20 people attendance, so it wasn't, and we all did lateral flow tests beforehand and, you know, all that sort of stuff. So but yeah, it was we did like a little casino type theme to part of it. So I actually had the old dinner jacket on, so I thought, I'm gonna whip out a bit of Man in Black. I think that sort of suits the scenario. If that was a scenario, that'd certainly be one I'd be picking. So yeah, went for that. What else have I bought? The next day, with a little bit of a hangover, I wanted to make a little bit sort of fresh and clean. I met a friend for some brunch, so I went for the Pocket Scents version of Silver Mountain Water, which is named by your good self,
Scottish Mountain Water.
So I've not worn that for a while, so that was really nice. I enjoyed that. Earlier in the week, I wore Blood Oranges from Shea & Blue. I still need to try a bit more from that house, because I'm sort of just impressed. It's funny, I thought I would love that fragrance more than I do. I do like it, and the orange, the sort of mandarin orange in it, or the blood orange, is very natural and organic, but it's not too bright and citrusy, because there's leather in there, and that really kind of, it's definitely more of an autumn winter fragrance. You'd think it might be a bit more of a sort of citrusy summer fresh, but it's not at all. It's sort of darker than that. So I do really enjoy it, but I don't love it as much as I thought I would on paper in theory, but I am impressed by the quality of it and the blend. So I'd like to try more from the House of Shea & Blue. I think I've said this before, but it's literally the only one I've ever tried, so I do need to dabble with that house a little bit more, I think.
Yes, it's a house that I'm not that familiar with either. So.
To be honest, they did have a very aggressive YouTube advertising campaign at one point. It's like every fucking video I clicked on, I saw that bloke with the glasses saying that he can't go anywhere without his fragrance. He puts it on, it's part of his routine. And it was like, I'd seen that video so many times. It was like, oh, and it sort of put me off the house. I was like a bit sick of it, to be honest. I was pissed off with him.
Yeah.
But eventually that campaign finished, and eventually I come around to sort of going for trying it. But yeah, I'm impressed with that house, actually. The quality is really good. Performance seems to be quite good, and just the blend. So I'd definitely like to try more.
Yeah.
And then just the only other one I wanted to mention today, I've been wearing a Hugo Boss fragrance. In true Hugo Boss style, I think the opening of this fragrance is a bit synthetic. It's not the highest of quality, but the dry down is really super pleasant. It's one I really enjoy. It's the scent Absolue.
Right.
I've really enjoyed it. It's got Meninka in it, which is quite rare. It's not like a common note. So
yeah, so does the Private Accord has that note in it as well.
Yes.
I think. Yeah.
I think that's throughout the scent line. I think it's sort of quite renowned for the Meninka. And I really like it. It's something a bit different. It's not, like I say, a note or an accord that you smell very often. And it's just really super pleasant. It's a little bit sweet, but not too sweet, not too fruity, very clean and fresh. I really enjoyed wearing that today. I'm sort of really happy with that. I need to reach for it more, to be honest. So there you go. There's a few I've been wearing.
Lovely, lovely. Well, as I mentioned, this leads me into a fragrance that I want to mention that I think you'd actually like, Steve. As I mentioned, George has been over visiting me, and we went out and we filmed a couple of videos. So we went out for my channel. We filmed my most worn designer 2021 releases. And then for George's channel, we filmed a video where we introduced each other to five of our fragrances that we knew the other hadn't smelled. And we did first impressions on camera. So one of the ones that George introduced me to was called Oranges and Lemons, Say the Bells of St. Clemens. And it's a Healy fragrance. And it's a bit like, I'm not going to say too much to describe it because it's in George's video, my reactions, but it's a little bit like Acqua di Parma's Colonia Essenza on steroids. And it's got all the citruses in there. It's got orange, lemon, obviously, bergamot, tangerine, and then it's got neroli, pettigrain, Earl Grey tea, ylang ylang, and vetiver. And it's a belter, mate. It's a beauty. If you like that sort of fresh, citrusy, gentlemanly style. I say gentlemanly, it's totally unisex. But you know what I mean, that Acqua di Parma sort of cologne style. I think you might actually like this. It's a powerful, fresh citrus fragrance. And I'm just looking at the price here now. I've pulled it up on their website, or a website, and it looks like it's £116 for 100 mil. So that is cheaper than Dior's Sauvage Elixir per mil.
Yeah, there we go. And obviously you did a video recently. You were all about the pounds per mil when you were doing the sort of comparing the cost of those sort of affordable niche fragrances compared to the designer. So that was you've got some good knowledge on the pound per mil at the minute. I think you're a good person to ask on that.
I find it quite fun to do, actually, because people just go, oh yeah, those fragrances over that in that category are going to be too expensive. I'm going to stick with my designers. But when you, what does Dior Sauvage Elixir, I didn't even work out per mil what it was, but I'll work it out right now, because it is £116 for 60 mil. So that's that
60.
Means for 60 mil, that is £1.93 per mil. Okay.
No, is it only 60 mil for that?
Only 60 mil bottle, and so many niche fragrances. Like Zaharoff works out, Signature Pour Homme anyway, works out at £1 per mil. And some of the stuff that I've recently been talking about, the Mattia Libra stuff, that works out like 95 pence. Some of the Tio Cabanel works out at 89 pence per mil, and it's good stuff. Free shipping as well on their website. So I'm becoming a bit of a... I'm championing these these niche fragrances that people write off because they don't watch the videos. They don't watch the niche videos. You know, I've got a bit of a thing about people not tuning in for niche. So obviously that video that I did this week, I enjoyed putting it together, and that was a suggestion actually from you. You said it was content that you'd like to see, so you had to watch it. couldn't ignore that video this week because you had to comment on it.
I better make a comment, I suppose. I sort of had to guess what you were going to say so I could sort of put a relevant comment, and I didn't have to watch the whole thing. No, I generally did watch the whole thing. I did actually really enjoy it. I thought it was really interesting because I didn't cheat either, because I know you actually post in your descriptions what fragrances are included in the video and stuff. Probably helps for the sort of searching and things.
Yes.
Well, I did, and I literally just sat back and watched. I was like, oh, and I did have that kind of, oh, I wonder what's next. I had that kind of like waiting for the next one to pop up.
Good.
So I did really enjoy that actually. It was interesting. I think you did do it quite well. I was sort of quite intrigued with that video. So
You know,
whoever come
left...
up with the idea was genius, mate. Absolutely.
I know,
genius.
Mate. I know. Yeah. Someone left me a comment on that video saying, "You have an American audience. Can you please put the prices in dollars as well?" And I responded and said, "I've got viewers from all over the world. I would hope my viewers would have the ingenuity to be able to convert for themselves."
Yeah.
Like,
you have a Google, you could search and do a conversion, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And how sort of blinkered is that to think, well, I'm an American, I'm from this massive country, so you need to put it in dollars. He's not thought about everyone else in the world that might like it in their currency. He's just thought about himself and his country. And
it's it's a fucking free video, mate. How much spoon feeding do you want? Jesus Christ.
I know.
It's like, I'm giving at least you can do is look up like what the equivalent cost is. Christ, man.
I mean, it takes about 3 seconds on Google to do that.
Yeah. Literally, it will autofill. I do it all the time. It'll be like, you know, $108 in, and it will fill in pounds or GBP or whatever. Literally, it autofills it. Jesus Christ.
Some people. But, you know, they're clicking. They're getting the, you know, they're giving me the views. So, you know, can't complain too much.
Cool. I can't remember what we were talking about your pounds per meal, weren't we? I don't know how we got onto that.
So we got onto that because I was just recommending that fragrance to you, and I noticed the price for niche for oranges and lemons for the Healy fragrances was
very
affordable.
What George has been wearing, that was right. Yeah, that's how we got onto it. Just backtracking in my mind how we got
to that. So yes, George has been here doing a little bit of filming with me, so a couple of nice videos for people to hopefully look forward to in the coming few days and weeks. So other than that, is anything, have you been watching anything, Steve? Anything worth chatting about?
I've watched a few videos this week, actually. I'll try and shout out a few. So one YouTuber that we've never mentioned before, that I think we both actually follow, I really enjoy. I kind of started watching his videos, and then I've done that thing where you start going on a little YouTube rabbit warren of because I sort of never really looked into a house. I'll obviously tell you what it is in a minute, but I was like, I never looked into this particular house, and then I started looking at what other fragrances they had, and then looking at reviews, then going on different websites again, trying to decide which one I'd maybe like to get and which one would be right for me. And it's kind of nice. I used to obviously do that all the time back in the day because all the fragrances are kind of quite new to me and I was learning, but I'm sort of quite content now with my collection, and obviously not as much new stuff. I'm sort of familiar at least with a lot of things. So it's quite interesting to go on a little sort of rabbit warren of YouTube and Google searches. So the YouTuber in question that I was watching was Robin James, who I really love.
Robin.
Yeah, his YouTube channel, I think, is just called Robin James, but he's... website and etc. is like Man for Himself, so that's kind of how he sort of brands it and markets it as Man for Himself, and it's a gentleman's lifestyle kind of channel. So he does those that don't know, he does a lot of men's styling, hair products, that sort of stuff, but he does fragrance reviews. And typically I think there's probably some people that might write someone off like that if they sort of just dabble in fragrance reviews and it's not really their thing. They might think they're not that well informed, but I think his fragrance reviews I really like. I think he's really honest, very genuine and honest opinions, and he doesn't claim to be a super expert, but he does certainly break them down sufficiently enough for me that I feel like I know the fragrance and I've got a feel for it, and so I really value his content. I think his production's brilliant. I think he's a really natural presenter. He's
do you ever watch that where you watch someone on YouTube and that, and you think, I'd really like to just have a chat with him, like down the pub, do you know what I mean? Just meet up with him. I think he's a really good bloke. He seems like a really nice guy.
He seems like it, and I think he is, because he's gone out of his way to sort of engage with me a little bit on Instagram, and he'll leave the odd comment on YouTube, and you know, he's got his channel's big, you know, he's got a big channel. So little old me, you know, I feel honoured that Robin will, you know, look at my content.
He seems quite humble with it as well. I love that he always starts his videos like, welcome back or welcome to. It's kind of like a man for himself. I really like that because it's quite a nice little... So I was watching his one of his videos he did recently, and it was like a makeover video. So it was quite long, actually. So they got... He said he had over 50 people apply, and basically there was... they're sort of doing their hairstyle. He was looking at their fashion, changing their clothes. I think a sort of format that's certainly been on TV numerous times, not so much maybe on YouTube. But one of the sections was fragrance. Now, I must confess, I didn't watch, because it was like a 20-something minute, getting on for 30 minutes, I think. I didn't watch the whole thing. I did skip to the fragrance section because I was curious.
Yeah.
And he got 5 fragrances, and he got into blind smell them. And this guy was, we may call a muggle, but he was picking out notes and stuff. I don't think he was a complete novice. He said he was quite into fragrances. So he one of his favourites was Tobacco Vanille. But when he was smelling, he kind of was picking out notes and he was referencing a few things. So I think he certainly, you know, he's kind of not ignorant, that's for sure. So a few of the fragrances, there was a couple that he mentioned. I can probably whiz through some of the ones that there were still the 5. So there was a Comme des Garçons Rouge was in there. I'm not going to be able to do this justice in French. So it's L'Occitane, Karate Corset, I think.
Is it L'Occitane? I don't know.
We need our French consultant on this, don't we?
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
Oh, actually, shout out to her, because I did use her French consultancy this week.
Right.
Just going off on a tangent. I was listening to another podcast that we won't name, and they were looking at Parfum de Marly fragrance. I believe it's the one in the red bottle that I believe you and I have both always called Aujon. I think it's in the red bottle, isn't it?
Aujon. No, that is Calan.
That's Calan. I've done that before. I always picture it in the red bottle, but and you've corrected me before to say Calan's in the red bottle.
Aujon is in, I think it's black with gold writing, a bit similar to Carlisle style.
I remember you corrected me the same before on that, so yeah, right. I'm testing you. But yeah, just going off on this tangent, and they had heard that Sebastian pronounced it Wajon, and I was like, Wajon, what the fuck? That don't sound right. And I was about to rip it out of him. I was going to message Mike and go like, mate, you're a dick. That's not how you say that. I was like, oh, before I do that, let me just fact check this. And I messaged Clement, so an honorary scent geek, and obviously I had to send her a voice note because it wasn't going to work in writing. So I was like, she said, bonjour. And I was like, right, I need your help. I was like, how do you pronounce like this Parfum de Marly fragrance and that? And interestingly, bless her, she came back to me, so thank you, Clem, for kind of helping me out on this one. She said that word isn't actually a French word. It doesn't mean anything. So it's not like a word that exists. They've sort of made it up. But she said the O and the A in French would be pronounced like a wa sound. So they were kind of right. Obviously, she pronounced it infinitely better than we or them would, because it was more the emphasis on the second bit, like Wajon. So it sounded a lot better coming from her. But it is a wa sound. So where I've always said Aujon, it's actually a Wajon. So I digress, but
interesting.
So there we go.
Good digression. I liked it. So we've got a Clemens mention.
Yes. So it's informative, this podcast, Chris. We like to educate people. So there we go. That one's on there. He did a Hugo Boss bottle, the EDP. So I think it's the new EDP one, which I thought was interesting, because he's got a few niche in there. But a couple of that caught my eye. So there was Penhaligon's Roaring Radcliffe, which I've never smelt before. But interestingly, he was almost... It gets compared a lot to Tobacco Vanille, I've since learned. And he was doing the same. He was kept thinking, he was sort of testing him, going, is that Tobacco Vanille? Because that's one of my favourites. It smells like it. And he wasn't... Right. It was quite funny. He was doing that thing where he's sort of doubting himself and he wasn't 100. He was like, no, I think it is. But is it, though? So that sounds really good. I wouldn't mind trying it, because that's got a lot of good reviews, I've since realised. But the one that caught my eye, there's a house that I'm not familiar with, is Molton Brown. Obviously, I know of Molton Brown. I know they do a lot of like body washes, etc. But I've not really looked into their fragrance line at all. So a lot of their body washes you can get fragrances off. They do like an EDT and the EDPs are a lot newer, a bit more expensive. But the one in the video was Jubilant Pine and Patchouli, which I think is a new release this year, actually. And that was the one that the guy picked in the end. That was his favourite. So that sort of caught my attention. And it just sounds like a sort of very nice, versatile, classic man's sort of scent. So I was really quite curious. And then I started looking into Molton Brown, and there's a couple that sort of caught my eye. There's a tobacco one that sort of sounds really nice, but I really like the sound of grapefruit, vetiver and grapefruit, or vetiver, if we're going to try and be French. Vetiver and grapefruit. That sounds really good as well. There was a couple. There's bergamot and oranges, or bergamot and mandarin, or something like this. There's one. So I started looking into the house, and then that's when I went on this rabbit hole, where I was like looking at videos and getting off of Grantica and trying to find. So I think I might the EDP of vetiver and grapefruit is really quite. It's not bad pounds per mil, but it's like 120 quid for 100 mil. Where the EDT, they do in a 50 mil bottle, which is a lot cheaper. I think it retails about 60, 65, but you can get some deals on it. I've seen it for 45, and even if you can find a reputable seller on eBay, you can get it down to like 30, 35 quid. So I might have a little blind buy, take a little punt on the grapefruit, a vetiver and grapefruit EDT, just to see how it smells. So I'll keep you posted on that.
Yeah.
So shout out to Robin James
for sending you down that little rabbit hole.
Yeah, I love it when that happens. It doesn't happen often now, so it's quite fun when it does. So I enjoyed that. So and shout out to Robin. If you've not checked out his content, it's more of the gentleman. Yeah, it is really good, really good production, but it's more men's style, so there's grooming products and stuff like that. But his fragrance reviews are really good. So
yeah, and I like sometimes how he nips over to Paris sometimes and just gets something, because obviously, you know, from Pancras you can just nip over there in a couple of hours, and he does a lot of his some of his videos just stopping people and asking them about their style on the streets of Paris. So he really does put a lot of work and effort into his content. So yeah, go and check out that channel if you haven't already.
But it makes it look easy, doesn't it? It's one of those people where we've said before, the production is so smooth, he's so natural. It's like you tune in, you feel really relaxed watching him, because it's very laid back. He's just, you know, such a casual kind of presenter. But it's, yeah, so I'm a big fan. Anyway, but there we go.
Next Fradcon meetup, we'll invite Robin, see if he wants to come along. Robin, if you listen to the podcast, get in touch, DM me, and we'll sort something out.
You could be a guest. Let's get Robin on as a guest. That'd be awesome.
Why have we never done that? Oh, we've missed a trick.
Oh, we're too small fry for him.
Yeah.
We're too small fry. But let's try.
Yeah.
So there you go. Other stuff I've watched this week, just a quick shout out. I watched a Cubano video. He was surprisingly really impressed with Infrared Spice Bomb. He's always written off the Spice Bomb range.
Brilliant. Love it.
He just said, it's not like it's a bad fragrance, but it was just very ubiquitous when it came out. Back then he was drinking a lot going out, and it's just not a great time for him, so it kind of reminds him of that, so he's kind of written it off. So he was not expecting much from Spice Bomb Infrared, but he actually really liked it, to the point where he's like, shit, he's like, have I been missing out all these years? And he started asking, you know, if you should try the others. So that was quite interesting. And I've also watched, Dan obviously did a video about the new Aventus book that came out. Well, the book about the ghost, it's called The Ghost Perfumer. And it's all about who the sort of real perfumers are behind some of the Aventus, behind some of the Creed fragrances. So that was quite interesting. Yeah. He interviewed the perfume, the author, sorry, who'd done loads of research. So it's talking to loads of different perfumers. So that was like really interesting. I'm not going to kind of do it justice there, but he's also been on a live since with Mr. Smelly on Dan's channel. So go and check out Dan's channel if you want to find out more about that.
Yeah, I wonder if he gets into this whole thing, because a lot of houses do this, or a few houses do this. So they say, oh, we've been around since the 1600s or whatever. But I think Creed was a perfume house in the 1600s in England, because they made some fragrances for the royals. They made Windsor famously.
The history of Creed, I mean, I've not read the book murky yet, you can order it, but it is, it sort of suggests a lot of it doesn't, there's not a lot of evidence to back up some of the claims, essentially. Right. That's what I will probably say.
Yes.
So I think it's definitely worth trying to get hold of the book. You can buy it now, I think. I don't think you can order it through Amazon. I think you've got to get it through the website. And Henny was apologising because the shipping's, you know, to get over here. But so the book's definitely probably worth a read. But it was interesting how they kind of went about it. Again, I'm not going to do it justice, but they sort of got some perfumers that were very talented, but their confidence wasn't always there. So they kind of played on that to try and get them on board, if that made sense. So perhaps if someone's like highly skilled but lacking in confidence, you could sort of, they're probably more susceptible to be taken advantage of, if you see what I mean. So there was sort of some of that. So it's interesting. So I'm not I'm not making any claims. I don't want the podcast to get in trouble, but I'm just kind of going on what was discussed on Dan's interview with him, which has come straight out of the book. So definitely go and try and find the book. So the book is called The Ghost Perfumer. So I think that could be a probably a popular Christmas gift, I think, for all the fragheads.
Yes, it's on my watch list. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm really interested in that. So I'm going to go and when I get a chance, go and watch that video of Dan's to find out what's going on with that.
Cool.
But now, Steve, we've got to plug a bit of our own stuff now, haven't we? Our own
we
content
have.
Coming up. Cause...
So many people are doing lives, aren't they?
It's the thing.
That is the thing. It's what people do now. They don't do podcasts. They don't do YouTube videos. They do lives for 8 hours straight.
And we've got a big episode coming up.
We have. Episode 100 is just merely around the corner. So we thought, we should do something for that. We should do something special for episode 100, 2 years in. So we are, aren't we?
We are doing something special.
So,
a live stream.
We're going to do a YouTube live stream for episode 100. But don't worry, if you're not into YouTube and somehow you only listen to us through this, we will be releasing it as an audio podcast as well. So it will be, episode 100 will be out as normal, we hope. That's the plan, on all the usual formats. So you'll be able to listen to it as a podcast, just the audio. But if you want to get involved and celebrate episode 100 with us, you can't you? Can you remember the details, Chris, the date and time?
So we are going on the Thursday, the 23rd of December at 8:30 p.m. We will be going live on YouTube with a collection of honorary Scent Geeks. So most of the people that we have had as guest presenters or guests or whatever have agreed that they're going to join us for the live stream. And it coincides with, it's right before Christmas, the day before Christmas Eve. So we're going to have a nice little festive catch up, bit of a chat. We're probably all going to have a bit of a drink. We're going to run the podcast episode, sort of record it live as Steve and I usually do. And but there's going to be a little bit of before, a little bit of after. So if you're watching it on YouTube, you'll see what goes on before we hit record on the podcast. So you get a bit of behind the scenes stuff. And we just want it to be fun, and we want it to be a celebration, not of us, of the podcast really, but of the people that have joined us and been good enough to give up their time over the last couple of years to help us out and enrich the podcast with their beautiful voices and their presence. So we're really looking forward to that.
The R section will essentially be live, won't it? If you're watching the YouTube live, what we're sort of hoping to do is you'll be able to ask live questions for the audience recognition section. So if you're there watching, obviously it's not just going to be me and Chris. We probably shouldn't necessarily name everyone just in case they can't quite make it on the day. But all the people that have been previous guests have currently said they will be there and they can make it, all going well. So you'll be able to ask them and ask questions, and we'll chat if you've got any ideas for content or questions that you would like us to discuss as a group. You know, that will be the audience recognition section. It will be a live event. So
yes, and we'll probably do that on my channel just so we can try and get the widest reach possible for the live stream.
Course.
But I think we need to tell our listeners the other reason why.
There's another reason, isn't there, why we're doing a big episode 100. And it's because it's gonna be the last one, isn't it?
It's
gonna be the last Scent Geeks episode. Episode 100 will be the finale of the Scent Geeks, and we're not just talking about the end of the season because we've never done seasons. It's gonna be the last Scent Geeks podcast.
Unfortunately, Steve and I have been talking about this for the last couple of months, and it's been in my mind for a little bit longer than that. And we've loved doing it. Don't get us wrong. I love chatting to Steve every week, but overall, we've made a decision, and some of it is based on me sort of having a lot of things going on, and I have to give up 2 to 3 hours every Sunday night to do the podcast. And I do love doing it, but that inevitably eats into precious family time. And, you know, I only get to see my kids at the weekend properly with quality time because they're at school. And for the last 2 years, I've sort of not been present for every Sunday evening. So that has got to me a little bit. And sometimes, as you're aware, I've not always been able to make the podcast. Thankfully, you know, we've had some brilliant guests to come in and chat with Steve. But I've often, you know, we're quite a busy family and we're often away for weeks and weekends. And sometimes, you know, I'll be saying, oh, no, we've got to leave early from wherever we are because we've got to get it back and do the podcast. So again, that, you know, that is the podcast eating into to sort of valuable time. So I came to Steve a couple of months ago, and I said, look, this is what I'm thinking, Steve. But, you know, obviously it's up to you what you do now going forward. So Steve, I'll let you sort of take over on this little bit.
Yeah, so I mean, I knew sort of this is more direct at the listener. I knew sort of Chris was obviously he's a busy man. He's got fingers in a lot of pies and he's getting kind of busier and he's sort of struggling to kind of always commit to it, let's say, because having to get back from places sometimes might be a problem. So I kind of, it wasn't too much of a shock really, and I sort of basically we thought we'd think about it for a while, and I was sort of trying to decide what I wanted to do, and I did mull over lots of ideas because I love doing the audio format. I really enjoy podcasting, actually. It's something I really enjoy. And I did think, oh, could I carry it on? I thought, obviously I couldn't carry it on my own because it's kind of, I think you need someone to sort of bounce off of. And then I thought if I could get someone else in to kind of essentially kind of replace Chris, and we could sort of carry it on and even keep the Saint Geek's name and keep it going. But then I didn't want it to be like the analogy I've used several times, Chris probably here at Sick of Hearing It, is that I'm a big Top Gear fan, and after like Clarkson, May and Hammond left, they sort of obviously rebranded that, they kept with the Top Gear and that, and it just wasn't the same and it kind of got slated a little bit. And
for anyone not in the UK, that is a very popular sort of car review show that's been on the BBC for,
I think that's,
what, 30
that's
years
huge
something?
Across the world, isn't it? I think they've got massive viewers in America,
right,
so I'm
right.
Sure most people will know it. It's on BBC America and stuff. It's I think it's one of the largest selling shows in the world, I think. It's crazy. But anyway, it is a massive popular show. So then the presenters left, and then they sort of found some new presenters, and it just wasn't the same. It got kind of slated. So I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to kill off the podcast. I wanted it to finish on a high. I didn't want it to be like, oh, it's not as good as it used to be. So I'd much rather kind of finish it on a high. And then so that's what I think why we've sort of decided really to finish it. For me I might do other audio ventures. I might do another podcast. I might be guests on other ones, or I might do another one eventually or something, because I do really enjoy it. I do really enjoy the audio format content, but for the sake of the podcast, I didn't want to ruin it. I don't want to be the guy that killed the podcast and go, oh, it's not as good as it was. So I'd rather finish it on a high and just enjoy it for what it is as a piece of work, really.
Yeah. And I said to Steve, look, I'm totally happy. If you did want to keep going forward with the Saint Geeks, or with, you know, a different name, or just change things up a bit of that, I know that Steve really enjoys it, so I was going to be fine with that. But I think you feel like it's sort of the time to end this little chapter. And it's 2 years, 100 episodes, 2 to 3 hours it takes us per episode, so you know, that's a lot of hours over the last couple of years that we've drilled into this.
And like you say, and when I was thinking about it, it does feel like a good time to end it as well. I don't want to drag on, like say 2 years, 100 episodes, got, you know, we're well over 150,000 downloads, and it's the format, we sort of joke, the format hasn't changed too much, we've not mixed it up. I think the engagement levels have kind of gone up and down. It's probably not as people don't engage quite as much as they used to. So rather than sort of dragging it out, I think there's still a lot of love for it, and we do appreciate all the love we get. But I think rather than drag it out or ruin it or try and sort of rebrand it and fail, I think it's almost, let's just leave it on a high and leave it as a piece of work for what it is, really.
There was that slight sense of, like Steve said, the engagement had dwindled a little bit, less in going on in the Facebook group, less Kofi's coming in. We used to get the scenarios every week, and we were asking for lots of stories, and we got some, and they were brilliant. But then, you know, they sort of dried up a little bit, and we thought, well, you know, is it the time? Is it sort of the natural end? And also, When we consider the amount of time that we've put into this over the last couple of years, for me personally, financially, it's sort of been more as a hobby, really, because financially it's not really made much money. Maybe if it did, perhaps, you know, my mindset would be slightly different, and it maybe it would be more worthwhile losing out on the family time. But the way it stands at the moment, it being sort of a hobbyish thing, it's not sort of not worth a hobby interfering with not only the family time, but you know, it means I've got less time to do YouTube, and that's you know, part of my business and my work. So yeah, we are calling it a day, folks. Never say never. We're not going to start again like we have been, but you know, if we get the opportunity, if there's an appetite for a live episode recording at some point, maybe in the future we could go to a venue and get a few people to come along and have it as a bit of a sort of Fragcon meetup style thing. Maybe, you know, we could do a special episode, but we're not sure. For now, all we know is that the weekly podcast will sadly be ending, and I am a little bit sad to say that, Steve, because I'm gonna miss chatting to you every Sunday evening. But in balance, overall, I think we both feel like it's the right thing to do.
If you are relatively new to the podcast and you're sort of hearing this, and there's a lot of we need to look into it, but we're thinking that we, without costing us too much money on the old hosting fees, we should be able to sort of keep the back catalogue available and accessible for anybody that wants to go back and listen. Those earlier first episode was pretty shitty quality, but so maybe start with episode 2. but yeah, so hopefully we'll look into it. The issue, the situation we've got with the host. But we think we should be able to kind of make those accessible without us kind of costing us sort of money every week. So hopefully you'll still be able to access all the back catalogue if you've not listened to them all. If you want to kind of go back and listen to the previous episodes. So but yeah, there will be no new episodes after episode 100, which yeah. As I say, we'll be recording on the Thursday. I'm just making sure I've got the dates in front of my calendar. So Thursday the 23rd, if you want to join us on YouTube, and then that will go out on, I believe we're sort of planning on doing that as on Monday the 27th, Chris, as normal. So it'll be just after Christmas. That will be episode 100 for the audio kind of version. Obviously the YouTube live will be available on Chris's YouTube channel, and then the audio podcast, wherever you listen to it, be it iTunes, Spotify, whatever, will be available. Hopefully all being well on Monday the 27th of December, and that will be the last one. So
yeah, that's it. The end is nigh for the geeks.
Yeah.
But you know, we've chatted about this, Steve, haven't we? But we've done 100 episodes. We could have done 200, we could have done 300, but where do you end it? It has to end at some point, you know? We couldn't have carried on doing this for the rest of our lives, so there has to be an ending. And I think it feels right to do it. 100 episodes, 2 years, and I think let's go now, rather than dragging it out for another, you know, 300-400 episodes. And also, I think when we started, we were watching a lot more YouTube content, so we had more to comment on as well. So that was a lot more, there was more talking about. So we do feel that maybe we're on the cusp of content drying up a little bit, and we don't just want to come on here and waffle about nonsense. It needs to have some sort of structure. Before we go, get into all that, we thought, yes, let's just, we will do it on 100. We will bow out on 100. So that's it, yeah.
In other news, if anybody's got anything happening on Sunday evenings that helps me get away from the family and kids, that would be really appreciated. they're actually, to be fair, mine are in bed, so it doesn't kind of affect me too much. Watch this space. Obviously, Chris is probably a time to plug our other things. Obviously, Chris has got his YouTube channel, he's got Lux Puff Farm, he's got numerous other bits and bobs are doing. Obviously, you're on Instagram, so you can. There's plenty of Chris about that you'll see, and I'll hopefully do a bit more on YouTube potentially. I'll use the Sundays maybe to do a bit more filming and things. I might get back to my comedy channel as well and do a few more sketches. And yeah, I do definitely enjoy the audio format, so I will hope to be guests on other podcasts and things like that. And I might, depending on what happens or what opportunities come, where I might do another podcast of some sort at some point, who knows. But yeah, just watch this space, really.
But don't worry, we're not going to just end this episode on a little bit of a downer, because we do have a nonsense related, non-frag related funny ending. quickly before Steve tells us about his funny story, I do just want to shout out our sponsor once more for this episode. If you want to be in with a chance to win a full bottle from Kajal Perfumes or a Discovery set, all you need to do is go to their Instagram, find the Scent Geeks post, repost that, read the instructions, do all the things you've got to do, and you are then in with a chance to win a brilliant prize. Okay, Steve, let's have a funny ending. We don't know if we're going to edit this bit out yet, because I don't know what Steve's about to say.
This is the thing, right? So we, as most people know, we talk briefly before we start recording about some of the things that we might discuss. And I said, well, there's something funny happened to me this week, so I could say it. But in all honesty, I don't know if it's going to make the edit, because disclosure here, this is a bit crude, okay? Parental advisory. It's not explicit, but it's just a bit, I think crude is probably the expression I would use. So certainly if you're listening with your family or kids in the car, turn it off now. But who knows, this might be the last you hear of us. Chris might cut this off after I finish talking, which would be funny, actually. If I do all this speech and then the podcast ends and there's the outro music, you know this story didn't make the cut. And then everybody's going to be messaging me going, but what was the story, Steve? You need to share it.
Just in case I need an out, I'll just give us a quick one now, Steve, before you go into your story. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll be here for you next week. Have a week, geeks.
Bye. Right, here's the story. So for those that are don't mind hearing a crew thing. So I was had my work Christmas due on Friday, as I said, and my office is on a good day about 2.5 hours away from where I live, 2.25. So I set off Friday afternoon, and there was an accident on the M11, and I was stuck stationary for ages. And as per usual when that happens, just before the accident, I thought, I'll probably stop at the next services to have a pee, to be honest, because I need it. And then the accident happened. And the only good thing with this accident, it was literally stationary for well over an hour. So it was engine off, seatbelt off, like literally just sitting there watching YouTube. I was watching some stand-up comedy it would have been worse if I had to crawl, where you're trying to, sort of crawl the car forward using a clutch or whatever. So anyway, I was stationary for ages, and it was getting to the point I was like, I really need to pee. This is getting really bad. Now, I've relatively recently, within the last couple of months, had to pee in a bottle in the car, and it was a wide neck bottle. And it was fine. This time I didn't have that, and I found it.
Hang on a minute. I thought that the crude thing was going to be you peed in a bottle, but no, that's just part of the build-up. When a few months ago did you end up having to pee in a bottle? Why? Explain that.
Well, that was also a similar sort of situation. Stuck in a traffic jam. Yeah. It was getting to the point I was like, I need to do something. So it was like, I actually had like a big large drinks bottle with the wine, and it was fine. I thought that I'm a pro at this now. I know what I'm doing. I was like, seat back so I don't get anything on the seat. I just got on the edge of the seat forward. There was no lorry next to me that could look down in. It was fine. And the trouble, because I was sort of stopped over this kind of bridge thing, I couldn't do it. So this happened again. I thought, that'd be fine. I know what I'm doing. I can just pee in a bottle again. I've got this.
Does it feel like a bit wrong, or does it feel quite like nice?
Very.
Does it feels like you're peeing yourself?
I remember getting stuck in a traffic jam a few years ago, going to the O2 or something for a gig in Blackpool Tunnel, and I tried to pee in a bottle. Actually, my girlfriend at the time was in the car. I couldn't do it psychologically. It just weren't happening.
It wouldn't go.
I just couldn't. It was like my
pipes wouldn't flow.
Yeah. It was like my brain and the rest of my body were going, right, let's pee. And my penis was like, nah, mate. Nah, not happening. Nah. Not happening. No. So anyway, I tried to do it this time. And I was like, right, I've got this. I know what I'm doing. I could only find like a normal Coke bottle or whatever. So I... God, this is bad. So I was how am I going to do this? Because, I mean, humble brag, basically it wouldn't fit properly in the bottle, right? I'm going to try and not use any crude words, but it wouldn't fit properly. So to start off with, it's like I tried a little technique of sort of going from the outside, peeing in. I was like, no, this is dangerous, not happening. Yeah. So in the end, I basically...
and there was no way of sort of manipulating and squeezing.
Well,
and...
this is the thing. Also, I don't know what to call said penis. I told someone else this story. I referred to it as a willy, and they thought that was hilarious. So, but anyway, So in the end, I basically stuffed it in this bottle, right?
Yeah, right.
And so I stuffed it in. And then I sort of started peeing. But what I didn't realise is, again, this is no humble brag, but I'd essentially created a seal around the bottle.
Yeah.
So when I peed, it caused like a vacuum.
Oh.
And then this bottle was stuck on my penis.
Oh.
I was like, shit. So I'm sort of half peed and it's not going out because of the pressure. And then I'm like, I'm trying to stop that and I can't get this bottle off. And I'm now trying to like get my finger inside the bottle to release the pressure. And it was just like, and in the end, I managed to kind of get it in and it heard the old pressure release.
Oh,
and then
no.
I could, and then I had this sort of technique where I had to, it was like I was, it reminded me of when you sort of milk a goat and you just get these squirts like tss, tss, and it was like that. I had to keep kind of doing it like that and then releasing the pressure, like having a squirt releasing the pressure.
So it was a not only nightmare. Did you start going and you then realize that it created the pressure vacuum, you then had to stop the flow.
Yeah, I then had
which is hard in itself.
Which is hard, especially when it's under pressure.
Yeah.
Then try and do that. Hold the bottle so it didn't like get. Try and release the pressure somehow. It was proper stuck. I thought, what if it starts moving now? What am I going to do? Am I going to just drive with a Coke bottle on my penis? Or what if something happens? Someone crashes into me and the police come or something. Like, what happens? I'm like, oh yeah, I just
never mind. Coke bottle. It's a cock bottle, mate.
Oh god, it was an absolute nightmare. But I did manage to sort of finish.
Yeah.
Eventually through the piss and release pressure release technique, and it's so cliche, but it literally started moving almost straight away after, and I had to start driving just with my trousers around my ankles. I had to just kind of sort of just drive a little bit and then pull them up as I was driving. It was an absolute nightmare.
Steve, I've got to ask, was your willy all right after? Was it okay?
It was okay. Yeah, it's been in worse situations. So yeah, there we go. Who knows if that's going to make it.
What you need to put in the boot of your car. Right, I'm going to buy you a Christmas present, mate, and I'm just going to get you a little funnel. Yeah. And then you just put that in the bottle and then you just pee into the funnel.
That's exactly what I needed. I'm a scientist. I did start getting creative. When I realised, I did start thinking, I need some sort of funnel system here. And I looked around.
Right.
There was nothing. There was no funnel type. I thought, if I could, is that cardboard? No, that's going to soak through. I couldn't sort of make that into a funnel. There was nothing that I could make into a funnel. So I did think that. But yes, exactly what I needed. Or just a wide neck, you know, because, humble brag. But
well, we talk about free bottles a lot in Frogcon, but this week we're talking about pee bottles.
Yeah, obviously the next time when I did stop at the services, I had to get rid of said bottle.
Yeah, how did you get rid of it? Just took it in the bin surreptitiously,
I just chucked it in the bin. Yeah, it was so horrible. So like, oh no. So there we go. That's that happened to me. So I've had that, and I've had my daughter shitting in the bath this week. So great week for me.
Well, there you go. And if you're still with us and you're still listening, there you go. I'm going to leave that in, Steve. I'm not going to edit it out. So
excellent.
I think our listeners will probably be very glad we're ending the Scent Geeks podcast.
Yeah, this highbrow fragrance content, all these other fucking podcasts, you don't get content like that, mate.
I mean, we don't care now, do we? We're finishing. We don't care.
Fuck it. Let's go out in a blaze of glory. Yeah.
Right. Okay. On that note, we're going to end it this week. So, Steve, thank you. Thank you for sharing. Thank you. I hope you feel better after that. I hope it was a cathartic experience sharing that with the listeners.
Of course. Yes, it was. It's not as satisfying as sharing my pee into that bottle, but yeah.
I bet.
There we go.
Right. Brilliant. Well, thank you. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, listeners. We will be here for you next week. Not for many more weeks, but next week we'll be here. Have a week, geeks.
Bye. Yeah.